I was on the job this last week, and we were doing an underfloor rough in, putting the ducting under the house before the floor went down. And I was just talking with the guys. I'm pretty open with them. I have three out there working, and Martin was beside me, my newest employee, and I was talking to him, just telling him, yeah, I got to preach this week, and I know I have a designated spot I'm supposed to preach from in 2 Samuel, but I just don't feel right about it because I hadn't been there in 5 weeks, and he kind of looked at me, and I said, I don't know, I don't feel right, you know. I feel like I'm kind of coming into the game after it's already started, and I just now showed up. And he says, well, maybe you just ought to start there. And I was like, you know, and it was just a reminder to me to just keep it real and be honest to where you are. And you'll touch more people's hearts by doing that than or wherever God's calling you to be, right, in that moment. Isn't that where we're supposed to live? And so I'm not going to be speaking from 2 Samuel. I did talk to Bill and asked him, and he says, well, talk to whoever's next. And so I called Gary. I said, hey, how much work have you done? Because I wanted to be respectful of his time and how much he spent studying so far. And he said, it's okay. Just go ahead and do what the Lord's on your heart. And I take a lot of pride in being a father. I love it, you know. And I think I've got the same feeling of all of us in this room as fathers and even parents, you know. All of us, you know, we look back at how we live and we feel like, well, we're just not there yet, you know. We keep working and we mess up a lot of times. That's just life, guys. That's what we're called to do, is just keep trying. So, you know, I hadn't been here in 5 weeks. I said, man, well, what happened? You know, sometimes we could sit there in life and, man, what's been going on? And I tell you, just sitting here this morning, I'm reminded, even though you look back and where you messed up here and all this, and, you know, just these songs reminded me. That's the wonderful thing about songs or God's Word. It reminds us of the promises that God has given us, that I love you. And you're doing fine. Just keep going. And my grace covers your shortcomings, that you can get back up and keep going. That's something we need to hear every day, right? You know, we had a couple of stock shows we went to, and I was had to work on a job that we only could do on a Sunday. And then, you know, my granddad passed away, didn't plan on that. And then I was going to come last Sunday, and, Gentry's mom passed away. I wrestled with it a little bit. But I started a job over there before all this happened, and they only have one bathroom, and I guess they didn't have a tub for the little kids. And Matt was, he's gone to Peru, her husband, and she was having a hard time bathing those kids. I had to finish the return air so that they could get the bathroom going, so that they get the tub in. And I said, well, I guess that's ministry, right? It's not convenient sometimes, but it was good to get that done. So, well, that's where I've been, didn't work, I guess, but that's all just here and there. I just want to get to it here, and I'm glad to be back, glad to be reminded of family, glad to see everybody again, glad to hear testimonies, and just it excites your heart and lets you know that you're not alone on the journey. So that's where we're going to start. It's Father's Day. We're just going to be real. And I don't want this to be a long sermon. If I get to rambling, I'll try to just stop. I just want to talk to you as fathers, as parents, as just all of us, really. We're in the same business as helping each other along the way. And I want to also, I don't want to be too long because I want your dads to have time to be the family. I know I need that. Let me start by reading a story. I don't know if anybody have ever heard of Charlie Plum. The story will tell you, but he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. His jet got shot down for 6 years. It's a pretty amazing story. We're just going to share a little bit of it this morning as I read. Charlie Plum was a U.S. Navy jet pilot in Vietnam. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy lines. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist Vietnamese prison. He survived the ordeal and now lectures on lessons learned from that experience. One day when Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up to him and said, "You're Plum. You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down. How in the world do you know that? Asked Plum. I packed your parachute, the man replied. Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man pumped his hand up and down and said, well, I guess it worked. Plum assured him it sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today. Plum couldn't sleep that night, thinking about that man. Plum says, I kept wondering what he had looked like in a Navy uniform. A white hat, a bib in the back, and a bell-bottom trousers. I wondered how many times I might have seen him and not even said, good morning, how are you? Or anything, because you see, I was a fighter pilot, and he was just a sailor. You know, he actually was, y'all saw the movie Top Gun, right? And you know, he was Top Gun. That's true. And he went on, when he tells the story, it's a lot better. You know, he was way up there and the sailor was down here, and that's the way he saw it then. And he's just thinking about that. Plum thought of the many hours the sailor had spent at a long wooden table in the bowels of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of each chute, holding in his hands each time the fate of someone he didn't know. Now Plum asked his audience, who's packing your parachute? Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make it through the day. He also points out that he needed many kinds of parachutes when his plane was shot down over enemy territory. He needed his physical parachute, his mental parachute, his emotional parachute, and his spiritual parachute. He called on all of these supports before reaching safety back to America. Sometimes in the daily challenges that life gives us, we miss what is really important, and we may fail to say hello, please, or thank you. Congratulate someone on something wonderful that has happened to them. Give a compliment or just something nice for no reason. As you go through this week, this month, this year, recognize people who pack your parachutes. I'm sending you this as my way of thanking you for in part of packing my parachute. The point of the story is we are packing people's parachutes, right? And people have packed our parachute along the way. You know, I thought a lot about my granddad and how he's packed a lot of stuff, a lot of in my life, in my family, and that's to be carried on. That's our job now is to, you know, pick up that rucksack and throw out the bad and keep the good and just keep on going and take those good things and put it into your family's life, right? And then it gets carried on and on and on. And we can talk physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. All those chutes need to be packed. And as fathers, especially today, we need to be packing those parachutes of those that are entrusted to us, right? As the spiritual leaders of our families, right? And so I want us to be thinking as we continue on here, maybe of those who have packed our chute that we need to go back and say thank you to. And maybe some things that we need to pack in chutes for our children as get them prepared for life. As they're going to have some rough times. We all have. But it's those things that get implanted into our hearts and our minds and in our actions, those values, those virtues that we learn. And that's what gets us through that next step, that bump in the road, right? So what are we inspiring, implanting, passing on qualities, virtues, actions, behaviors into others? You know, how are we packing chutes? Not only in our families, guys, but maybe our place of work, maybe our community, and even strangers that we meet along the way, right? We're to be packing those qualities in all those areas of our life. And you can't give what you don't have, right? And we can't have what we have not received. So I want us to, why don't you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. He says in verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So this is the brother of Jesus, James. He says right there that if we need wisdom to ask, you know, like I said, we can't give what we hadn't received. Well, you know, God's there to give us everything. We just need to ask Him for it. But we need to ask, expecting to get something from Him. He's going to give it to you. He wants us to have that faith, to take that step out and reach out to Him. He has the ability to grow us that next step closer to Him and the ability to give us the things that we need to pass on. Let's now turn to 2 Peter. This is I just read it this morning. My mama sent it to me for Father's Day, and man, it fit right in. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He gives us everything, right? That's what it just said. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. You know, I take great courage even in struggles when I read that. Because if I read that right, if we continue to come to Him and grow and work and try to make ourselves better and better and better, what does it say there that we're not going to fall away? You ever have a fear of falling away? Have you ever had that fear? Well, right there then just run to God and follow Him and keep trying to add these things, self-control, patience, love, brotherly kindness, all those things into your life. And what happens? We don't fall away, right? That's what I read. Anybody correct me if they don't see it that way, that's okay. Just let me know. But I'll take great encouragement in that. I take great encouragement, you know, my dad wasn't perfect. His dad wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. And if there's an element that I'm missing to pack into the chutes of my kids, then I can go to God. I can go to another brother or sister that might have that quality that I see and want a part of them, and just talk to them about, hey, how do you tell your kids you love them all the time? I like that. You know, maybe I didn't hear that so much growing up, but I want to do that. How do you do that? Right? And they'll tell you little things they do. Right? Or praying to God, asking, hey, I want to do this, Lord. Can you help me with that? And what does He say? He's right there to help us, to grow us, that next step, right? Now, don't get me wrong. It is a process. We are all products of different circumstances. But God can and will work through each of us in the right direction. We just have to give Him the reins. You got to give Him the driver's seat, okay? So He can steer the car, right? And then He will bring your life into what pleases Him and what glorifies Him. Philippians 1:6, He will complete a good work that has begun in you, that He began in you, right? So, I stand before you today as a work in progress, and I will always do my best to be real and authentic about that. We will talk about some attributes here in a bit that need to be packed in our, that I thought of anyway, there's many more, in our chutes and be packing into other chutes to prepare them for life this morning. Now, I want to let you know right off, I am not an expert or got any of all this down, but if we try to grow that 1% every day, that's something I can wrap my head around. I want to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday, right? And I think that's what it's all about. I think that's what the scripture we just read was all about. And I know that if we honor God, He will honor us. And you know, when you look at a tombstone, I looked at a lot of them in the cemetery. It was a veteran cemetery. My granddaddy served in the Korean War. And it's pretty special. It was a pretty special time. And you notice on there, there's a start date and there's an end date on those tombstones. You know, we're given a point of two times. God says, this is where you're going to come into the world and this is where you're going to leave. And we don't know those. But there's a dash in the middle that we do have control over. And that's what matters. I've heard it said to live that dash well. And that's where our choices come in, our decisions we make. That's what we decide what we're going to do. Now, if we give those reins to God, He's going to steer it in the right way. And I encourage us to do that each and every day. So how are we living that dash? How are we packing those chutes? So this is, like I said, just a starting list. And I started going through these things and I was looking up scriptures and I was going to have three scriptures just to show that they're in the Bible. Well, that's going to get pretty tedious. I don't read well. I probably don't talk well. That's okay. I'm just real, that's all. But I stopped and I said, now this would make a good Bible study, you know, taking each one of these and studying each one and seeing. And I encourage you to do that. You know, I was doing that and I really enjoyed it. But I just want to talk about some of these things real briefly this morning. You know, I think I'm just going to, like I said, this list can go on and on, but we'll go for a bit and stop. And I just want to encourage you this morning to keep on keeping on. And we're not alone. And if anything touches your heart, I hope it does, and we can pray about it, and we can encourage you to take that next step. So compassion and kindness. You know, we need to be putting compassion and kindness in ourselves and into those in our lives. You know, Jesus did. Matthew 19, when the kids were coming to Him and the disciples were trying to, y'all take the kids away, and I'm paraphrasing, right? And He said, no, let them alone. Let them come. Right? He said, the kingdom of God is for those who come to me like a child. Right? He had compassion. He had kindness. What about the woman in a well caught up in adultery? Very well. Could have been stoned for what she did. And He said, where are your accusers? Now go and sin no more. Compassion. Kindness. Grace and mercy comes to mind. Care. We need to care about our wives, our kids, and other people. In the direction of their life and where they're headed, in the direction of our life. And we need to stop. We need to listen. We need to be engaged, focused. I heard it said one time, listen like your life depends on it. And I know sometimes I'll admit my wife's right here, so I can't lie. sometimes I'm not, I'm trying to listen, but I'm not listening, right? And I literally have to turn off my brain. You know, us men, we're very focus-oriented, right? Task-oriented. Tick, tick, tick. You know, we're wired one way. And don't throw rocks at me, women, but your brains are go multiple ways and many at one time, right? But, you know, we need to stop and listen. We got two ears and one mouth. I only have one in one. What about courage? What about courage? Stay in the course. Or changing the direction if needed. You know, I say a lot of times it takes more courage. Let's say you're going down the wrong path. And you know, say it takes more courage to stop and turn around and go the other way than to keep going the path that might be easier at the time, even though it's leading for destruction. Right? That's courage. It takes courage. Our kids need to see that courage in us. Our kids need to see us. I made a wrong decision here, son. I treated you wrong, or I was too harsh here, or whatever. They need to see that courage to admit when they're wrong and to make it right. Right? Our wives need to see that. People around us need to see that. Okay? Courage. Breaking those chains and moving the way that God wants us to go, even if we're heading the other way. It takes courage to live in our culture today. There's a lot of things that are happening in our society. My wife just told me about one. I'm going to mention it. I was kind of shocked to hear it. But, you know, over there in Reno, they're having drag queens come in and read to the kids. You know, just things that are happening that I'm not even aware of. I'm sure a lot of us aren't even aware of. And we're like, where's this stuff come from? And it takes courage to stand up and believe and talk and stand up for God in a society that we live in today. And we read about it all the way back through the Bible. The enemy's been trying to destroy this love story ever since it got started. It's nothing new. But it takes courage to stand up for God. But I know what? God's going to win. He already has won. The enemy's just mad about it, trying to take as many as he can with it. Right? But God's won. We're fighting a defeated enemy. And it takes courage. It still takes courage to stand up against him and move in the right way. What about dedication? Being committed. Being committed to God. Being committed to family. Being committed to community. Being committed to work. Well, that's a lot of commitment, right? And I'll tell you what, commitment's a confusing thing sometimes. You know, I know we're supposed to commit. And we can be committed to God 100%. And we could be committed to our families. But it's being in that presence all the time. That physical presence all the time, right? So I say it's confusing. But my wife told me this morning, you know, it's because, like, you know, sometimes I got to give 100% to work. Sometimes I got to give 100% to my family. And sometimes I don't know where to be. You know, like, you know, being committed to church. You know, that's why I feel bad I ain't been here in 5 weeks. I feel a little wrong standing up here and talking. But that's just the enemy kind of working at my heart. That's not what God feels, you know. But I let those things creep in sometimes, you know. I think we all do, you know. But that doesn't mean you're not committed to the church. It just means your commitment was over here and over here for a little bit. Doesn't mean that commitment's wrong. But yes, it is. We need to show a level of commitment. Be packing that into our kids' shoes. They need to be committed to their school. They need to be committed to God. And they need to be committed over here and over here. But it's learning when, you know, that balance, right? That's a hard thing. I ain't got it figured out. Don't know about y'all. But it's just, you got to keep working at it, okay? You got to have the courage to be okay when you got to go over here and still feel bad about not being over here. I think about our men and women in the military. You don't think they're torn, right? You know, family here, service, both great. But it's a hard road to walk, right? There's so many marriages that don't make it through that. You know, my wife told me, and says, you know, but you, it's okay because you might need to tell your kids, and I agree, that you may not be first at that moment, but you're still top priority, right? That don't mean your commitment's off. It just means you're trying to find balance and give 100% in where you need to at that moment, right? What about determination? To grit your teeth and just get through it, right? Determination. I think of perseverance right along with it. And as I thinking of these things, you know, my wife told me a determination is desire inside of you to not give in or give up. And perseverance is just following through. I like that. That's pretty good. Perseverance, I like to say, keeps determination from dying. You know, we can be determined all we want, but unless we persevere and never quit, that determination dies, right? Bottom line, we just got to keep on keeping on, right? It's a journey. It's a walk. It's a marathon. We're going to fall down. We're going to mess up. But we just keep going. And our kids need to see that. Our wives need to see that. People around us need to see that. We need to be packing those in the parachutes, right? Christ dedicated. He was dedicated. He was determined. He persevered all the way through for us, that we can have a home with God just like God intended it all the way from the beginning. Dignity. I had to look this one up. You know, we say it a lot, but I was like, well, what is it? I just have to go and look things up because I want to make sure I'm right. Dignity. It's the state of quality worthy of honor and respect. You know the old saying, God didn't make junk? He didn't. He made us all special. And we need to treat each other that way specially. You know, it goes beyond gender, race, orientation, whatever. Everybody's worthy of respect and being treated that way. And our kids need to see that. Our wives need to see that. Those around us need to see that. What about integrity? I love that word. That's why I chose it for my business. And as I like to say, it takes grit to live with integrity. You know? It's doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's keeping a commitment when the circumstances change. There's so many definitions. Just being true, being honest, doing the right thing, no matter what. You know, I had a plumber I was talking to, we were on the job together. He says, oh, don't worry about it. Inspector ain't going to see that. I said, but it ain't right, so we're going to change it. Right? Integrity. And when I leave a strap off way down there in the 100 feet away under floor, I got to go put that strap up because I know nobody's ever going to see it but a spider. But I can't sleep at night knowing that I didn't put that strap on. Right? Just eats at me. That's something that my daddy packed in my chute, and I'm thankful for. And that's something I'm going to continue to pass on to my kids and the people around me, the guys that I work with. Because to me, life without integrity is cheating. You're just cheating. Loyalty. I think of old sheepdogs. We got those livestock guardian dogs. No matter how hot it is, no matter how broken up they are, we got one that got run over, his legs all busted up. It takes him a while to get up. But once he's up, he's on patrol. I better quit here pretty quick. And then, what about we got one that got busted up, and she had to have surgery. And anyway, she's biting a cage trying to get out there when those sheep go out, because that's where they're supposed to be. That's where they're loyal to. What are we loyal to? Are we loyal to our God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ? Our kids need to see that loyalty. Responsibility, service, trust, honesty. It goes on and on. Guys, I just want to encourage you to take these things, these attitudes, these behaviors, these attributes, these virtues. Continue to work on them on your life. Ask God if you don't know about them. He'll give it to you. And then pack it into your chute and pack it into your family chute. Pack it into the people you meet. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Today, if there's anything said this morning that stirs your heart, you need prayer, we're here to pray for you, talk to you, cry with you, laugh with you, live life with you. We ask you, we're going to sing a song, and I ask you to come forward, and if you want that, grab one of us aside to get her done. If God's tugging at your heart anytime, it's for a reason, to do business. And I encourage you to do that business. Because on the other side of that line is peace. Is peace. He leaves us with that. Or maybe you just want to start your walk with the Lord. I don't know where everybody's at. I know a lot of you, but I don't know everybody. God sent a son for you, that you could have availability to all his storehouse. And all we got to do is say yes to him. And he saves us. And we're free. And we can talk to God and go right in, as the Hebrew says, with confidence, and talk straight to him. And if you want to make that decision today, we want to allow that opportunity. As we sing this song, this closing song, why don't you make your way up front, whatever needs you have. We'll pray, we'll cry, we'll laugh. We'll just be together. 327. We'll sing the first verse. 327. Jesus is tenderly calling you home. calling today, while from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away. Calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. I'm going to say a quick prayer blessing on fathers here today and all of us. And the boys got a treat they want to pass out to fathers. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this day, your blessing. We pray that you bless our week to come. And I pray a special blessing on fathers today and grandfathers. And Lord, help us to just keep packing our chutes and packing others. And give us what we need to be the best we can be and to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you for our blessings, and thank you for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.